Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you. It is Coach Approach. The day is Thursday. It's 10 a.m. This is where Ant from 49ers Cutback and myself get together. We try to look at the 49ers matchup and kind of all things, offense, defense, everything going on tape-wise. How do the coaches analyze this? What is the approach and all those things? Ant, how are we doing today on this fine Thursday?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're getting close to game time, so that's always better. You get kind of out of the minutiae of the loss and the loss of Fred Warner and all that. And I don't know about you, John, but the coach in me automatically starts trying to figure out a way that you can overcome injuries. It's like, I've lost my star players before, and the thought process was, okay, what do we got to do? How many guys do we got to use to try to make up for it? What can I do schematically to figure it out? And my mind just naturally goes to all of those things when it came to Fred Warner getting hurt. But that was a complete punch in the gut of what happened with Fred Warner. And then now you're starting to kind of get to the point where it's like, okay, but it's football time. 49ers are still 4-2. They're still 3-0 in the division. They're not out of this thing. It's going to be a lot more difficult. Don't get me wrong, but you start trying to figure out a way to win. And I think that's what I'm interested to see. Is there an emotional letdown now from the 49ers, or is George Kittle and the addition of him going to kind of add the emotion back in? I'm interested to see how they handle Atlanta, especially after Atlanta handled Buffalo on Monday.
Man, the NFL, like, a big reason why the NFL is what it is because of the parity. Like, just because you were bad doesn't mean you are bad, and you could have one terrible game then go out and, you know, whatever else. Like, the NFL is a matchup league. People forget that all the time. And so you stick with that, and man, you know, we'll detail the Falcons game in the second half of the show. The amount of overlap between the Falcons coaching staff and the 49ers coaching staff is unbelievable. Each week when we do our scouting report episode, I go through the coaches, like, whatever, and it's like, dude, Kyle Shanahan got arrested with their head coach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they got arrested together. And one of the coolest stories, if you haven't heard that story, go ahead and look it up. It's pretty awesome. But, like, Jeff Ulbrich, 10 years with the Niners. He's their DC. He was my number two choice at the 49ers. Didn't get Robert Saleh. He's got them at a top five defensive level. Yeah, Zach Robinson, their offensive coordinator, who was with McVay for the past, like, 6 years. These guys have coached with and against each other nonstop. They know everything the offense and defense does. There's just, you know, this is, they're not division opponents anymore. They used to be. And shout out to NY Niners. I love this. He says, happy Thursday all. Pretty sure the last time we played the at home against the Falcons in primetime, that was the pick at the stick. One of my favorite plays in 49ers history, Navarro Bowman, probably my second favorite 49ers player of all time. Tatum Bethune, go out there. Show them what you got, man. I want to show everybody I got a new treat. The Irish faithful, man, all the way from Ireland, sent this bad boy, this flag behind me. So I had to represent. I hung it up temporarily. I'm going to put it up over here so I can see it afterwards. And I'll always say this. If you got something you want me to display that represents something about 49ers community, chapters, Niner faithful, whatever, man, reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We'll throw that up. I always want to support, and shout out to my Panama chapter who was out in Tampa Bay last week. That was incredible. Look at this, Phil. Appreciate the super chat, man. He says, hashtag CC, hashtag TCC, coach approach Thursday, my favorite day of the week. Every time I talk to Phil, Ant, he tells me, when you and Ant are together, I am watching. It's just what it is. So let's talk about injuries. Ricky Pearsall did not practice. Etir Gross-Matos did not practice. Sky Moore did not practice. But George Kittle did, and Brock Purdy did. Walk me through kind of your expectations on the 49ers projection injury report. Who you think is going this week, who you think is going to be out?
Yeah, you know, I do think Ricky Pearsall is probably going to be out. Of course, there's always the possibility he could show up later in the week, but I think they're being careful, and I think they should. They're getting enough production from the wide receiver room. I don't think that they have to rush him back right now. Of course, we want all hands on deck because Ricky's a really good player, but I think that taking a slow approach with it is very smart. They need him for the long haul. They need him for some of these big games that are going to come down the stretch, and yes, this is a big game, but there's other ones as you kind of move. We're only six games down in the season. I think George Kittle's going to play in this game. I think that they always knew this was the one he was coming back. I think Brock Purdy is probably trending towards that direction too, or they don't practice him this week. So I do think that he's going to play as well. They know now they've got to turn this thing into an offensive football team that's going to move the ball consistently and be able to score. And I think that Brock Purdy and George Kittle go a long ways in helping with that. Also, when it comes to George Kittle, he's going to help remarkably when it comes to the run game. And so I think that they really know they need that. When it comes to Gross Matos, he's not playing. I don't even think that's a question. Sky Moore, I think, has got a chance. But now with Jordan Watkins being healthy, they could always go Watkins to handle that role right now. So I don't think that we're going to see Pearsall or Ittor Gross Matos. Everybody else, I think, is on the table.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like, I really want Pearsall back just because my biggest issue with the 49ers so far is just the lack of consistency, which is what you're going to get whenever you have backups everywhere. And probably our most consistent player, offense, defense, you know, it's been Ricky Pearsall. Whenever he is out there, no negatives. Just he catches everything, runs the routes. Even if it's underthrown, he catches it. Overthrown, one hand, fingertip, whatever. Like, I just want consistency, and the wide receiver position has been anything but consistent with Kendrick Bourne, with Juwan Jennings. And so I the one thing I will say, you finally are at a position where you do have a slew of wide receivers to where you don't have to rush somebody back. Like, Juwan Jennings struggling for sure, mentally, all the kind of stuff that's going on with him, physically, whatever else, but dude's a stud. Kendrick Bourne, back-to-back 140-yard receiving games. DeMarcus Robinson is your number three. Like, that is not a bad rotation. So, yeah, don't rush anybody back. And the quarterback, gosh, man, I'm concerned for Mac Jones. Mac Jones has been awesome. This is not an indictment on him. I just hate how he can't move. And with this offensive line and pass protection that's not gone well, I feel like Brock could protect himself a little bit better back there, even with the turf toe. So, like, my concern is just, like, dude, I don't want Mac to freaking – I'm worried about that dude, man. Like, when you watch the tape, talk to me just about the offensive line, pass protection, what your feelings are with Mac being, you know, even less mobile just from the onset, but with the injuries even more so. What are your thoughts there with the quarterback and which way you should roll? What was the quote that Brock is more limited than Mac from Kyle Shanahan? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, with Brock being more limited than Mac, I mean, this is gamesmanship at its finest. I mean, how limited, you know, are we talking about here? Brock was moving pretty good from the video that I saw at practice. I think that Brock gives you your best chance to win against Atlanta. I mean, it's no slight on Mac, but you brought it up. He moves around in the pocket a little bit with pocket awareness, but Brock Purdy extends plays. He gets outside the pocket. He can make plays down the field, even with turf toe. I feel like he just has a better handle on feel of moving around. I'm afraid Mac Jones against this Atlanta Falcons pressure would be more of a sitting duck. You know, they've got 14 sacks by 10 different guys. That's a crazy stat line. But when you start looking at all the defensive ends and all the young edge players that they've got, they're really predicated and built on speed and athleticism with James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker and Leonard Floyd. Like, this is what they do. So I worry about Mac Jones. I thought last week that there were a couple of sacks that are on Mac Jones. There's a couple of sacks on the tight ends, and then there's a couple of sacks on the linemen, you know, and Jake Tungus did no favors to Colt McKivitz on one of the plays. He just absolutely whiffed, and Colt McKivitz expecting help. Brian Robinson gave no help on Trent Williams, and Trent Williams is trying to come inside because they're pulling and then have to get back out there. There were a lot of things like that that made the offensive line play look worse than it was, and I think that the tight ends and running backs did the 49ers no favors last week. Those are the things that Brock negates. He escapes. He makes things happen. Mac Jones doesn't have that ability, so It's a give and take. Which part do you want? I think right now, if Brock Purdy can move and they feel comfortable, he's not going to re-injure himself. I think he's the best option.
Yeah, I like that as well. We got a couple super chats that I want to get to. This is from, it's over 9,000 TFFs. Appreciate the super chat. Love the pick and the little AVI one. That's pretty awesome. Hey, John, who can we trade for the Jets? Can we trade for a few players? It will be amazing to get Will McDonald. This is one of the questions I had for you in my notes. The trade deadline's approaching, Ant. What is your approach? Is it wait and see how you handle these last three games before the deadline, see what you got in house? Or is it, dude, let's go get everybody. Let's see what we can do now. Does the Fred Warner injury say, let's hold our horses and kind of see what we got, and we don't want to sacrifice too much of the future? Where do you stand on this? And then we'll get to the Jets and some players that might be available.
Yeah, you know, after Nick Bosa, I was kind of a, hey, let's wait and see approach. You know, what happens with the Jaguars? What happens with the Rams? They got the big win against the Rams, and I'm like, let's go. Let's get a defensive end. Let's go. And then Fred got hurt, and it's like, nope, go back to pause. Go back to wait. Let's take a look at this. What can Tatum Bethune do? And I think that that's kind of where I'm at right now. And that's what I think the 49ers are at right now. Evaluate. Keep making phone calls. Keep looking at the landscape. And expect your team to win. I mean, you got John Lynch on KNBR talking playoffs. Their thought process hasn't changed, but I think that what they invest in possibly can. And I never thought they were going for a big fish when it came to defensive end, like a lot of people did. So I think they're still in the mix for a defensive end. I still think it makes sense to add a guy on the last year of his contract, an Arden Key, or even a young guy like Jalen Phillips. I think those guys would make sense from a team that's trying to sell. But what are you going to do as far as linebacker? If you're completely sold on Tatum Bethune, you know, then you're just adding one of these kind of tier two, tier three edge rushers, and that's it, and saying, go get it done. And so I do think that there's some Jets guys available that Robert Saleh would be interested in, you know, kind of those end of the contract guys as well. But I do think they're taking a wait and see approach and probably going to play this out closer to the trade deadline, where I thought maybe they would be moved up a little bit. The timeline would have if Fred didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And like, you're always like, you got to remember, younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper. This is how the team is trying to build. Going and getting a big ticket item that you're going to have to pay multiple years is not in the cards. So GM says, you know, any trade should be for the long term, not just a rental. I don't see that. I disagree, just because of the salary cap considerations. Now, you look at Will McDonald, and he's kind of a tweener. He is signed through contract in 2026, so that would be a two-year trade. But his cap hit is only $5 million. So would you pull the trigger on Will McDonald? What would you be willing to pay for him?
I would. I think Will McDonald's a very good player. And, you know, this is Robert Saleh signing off on one of his own guys. It's another speed rush guy, another guy that can bring pressure off the edge. I think that that would free up Mikel Williams once again to kind of move inside on those pass downs. And I do think with Will McDonald and Bryce Huff on the outside together, they could do some damage. So I would like that move. I don't think it's too expensive, but because you have a second year of control, you're going to have to trade more for it. So are you going to be willing to give up a day two pick? I think that's the question. I think that's what would be required, at least a day two pick to start and probably something to kick in. Maybe like, you know, a 2 and a 6, or a, you know, a 3 and a 5, something like that. 49ers are going to have an abundance of fourth round picks, probably. Right. Maybe they could throw in something like that. Maybe they could get a 3 to 4. I don't know. But they're going to have to give up a couple picks to get Will McDonald.
Yeah, especially, you know, because he is cheap. He's 26. This year's cap hit's 4.4. Next year, 5.1. That is doable. So if you get a player on an expiring contract, get that compensation pick back, that sticks with you. Remember, both Kyle and John Lynch both said, we're not sacrificing the future for something that just helps us this year. Has to be both, that tension. And that's why expiring contracts work. It's kind of what the 49ers have done so many times. Oh, look at this. Lieutenant Simple Jack, Rob Louder in the chat. Hat tip to you, my friend. You are the best. Everybody goes check out the Striking Gold podcast. And right here, Phil. Look at Phil. Look at this guy. Yeah, he's crushing it. Coming in here with the quotes. He says, Matt Maiocco said, quote, if the 49ers are going to make a trade for an edge rusher, I would think it would be somebody who has more than 1 year left on his contract, end quote. That's weird to me. But hey, thoughts. I'm just going to say thoughts because I don't want to be rude.
I tend to disagree with Matt Miocco. I've had him on the show before. Me and Mark did. So I have no problem disagreeing with Matt Miocco, awesome. But he's awesome. But, you know, I do think that they want that financial freedom next year. And you brought up the comp pick formula. You bring somebody in, they leave, you know, you might trade away, you know, a fifth round pick and end up getting a fifth round pick back, depending on who the player is. And so that formula works for the 49ers. We've seen them do this before. I mean, if you can get a young stud, you know, with another year left on his contract, he's on his first contract, right? And you're going to pay him $13 million next year. Yeah, that's enticing. You could think about doing something like that. But if you're getting a guy, that's why I keep bringing up a guy like Jalen Phillips. He's in the fifth year already. You know, this guy's the money is going to be about what, $8 million is going to hit your cap. Next year, somebody's going to pay this guy a lot of money. It doesn't have to be you. And then you get a comp pick back, but you get good production this year, but financial freedom in the future. And that's what the 49ers are about right now.
It's both and, not either or, right? And so, like, you get the good player now. You don't even sacrifice the long-term picks. This is what they did with Chase Young. You trade a third-round comp pick. You get him for the playoff run, plays in the Super Bowl. Then you get a fourth-round pick in return. Like, it didn't cost you much. And so I think that's kind of the place that they're trying to dance in. That's where they want to see. Now, I'm excited about this next one because next up, you know, Ant and I go through the film. We're coaches first and foremost. That's kind of where we originated from. So I want to hear some positives that Ant saw on tape, perhaps that he didn't see live, right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. All right. Talk to me, Ant. Tell me something positive. It's been a rough week with the injury and the loss. What is something you saw on tape that kind of jumped out to you and you're like, ooh, all right, this is a little better than we thought?
Yeah, I think Tatum Bethune. You know, I did think he played well, but I thought it showed up more when you got into the film. And you've seen him and D. Winters kind of shedding blocks sometimes. That's not really the makeup of the 49ers linebackers. They're more track and chase. They're more, you know, avoidance linebackers. And I thought he did a really good job. I thought he did struggle in coverage a little bit, which I was expecting. But what I did see was his drops kind of changed as the game went on, which means he's learning a little bit, being out of position, and then kind of trying to figure it out. It wasn't a great stride, but it was a little positive stride. So I think Tatum Bethune is a great tackler. That's first and foremost. I think he's going to be very big when it comes to helping stop the run. And I think that's really the avenue the 49ers play there with him. I think that there can be some games that they play with third down, whether that's Curtis Robinson coming in the game and helping with coverage or going to a third safety. I think that all those things go to more of a dime look now instead of a nickel now that you don't have Fred Warner. But I thought that Tatum Bethune did a lot better than I think it appeared at first. I thought early in the game, he was really slow to pull the trigger. He was waiting and reading. He was more reading a long story than kind of reading it fast. I thought as the game progressed, he got a little bit better. And so that's hopeful for the future.
Yeah, that I want to see that too. And I know it's your Florida State dude. And so, like, I know you know this guy. And yeah, you do your thing, baby. Chop it. I want to tell people that I kept saying this, like, the 49ers roster does not have depth going into this season. Whenever you rely on so many rookies, you don't spend in free agency for depth. At quarterback, you did. That was about it. And that's paid huge dividends. But going into the season, the deepest position group on this roster was the defensive unit. I mean, shoot, you spent a high third round pick on Nick Martin, and you scratch him for the first 6 weeks of the season, healthy scratch, because of the depth that you have. Well, I think Johnny Holland and the 49ers scout the linebacker position better than any other position, and that's been the case since 2017 when Shanahan and Holland showed up, and Robert Saleh was here for that as well. I am not in the business of trading for a linebacker. Like, I'm not even – I would take calls, but, dude, you have Tatum Bethune at Mike. You have Curtis Robinson, who you love, at backup Mike now. Now, maybe Nick Martin gets some more snaps, you know, kind of at special teams and kind of what that looks like, but – I think they're perfectly established to go out there and do what they do. Like, you look at the Rams, I would take all three of the 49ers' current starting linebackers over all three of the Rams' current starting three linebackers. Like, it's three. I'm taking Bethune. I'm taking Winters. I'm taking Gifford. Like, you can get around that. Now, Robert Saleh's defense has always been hyper-focused linebacker-wise. And I'm excited to see what Tatum can do. Is he Fred Warner? Nobody is. But the one thing that Tatum can do is stop the damn run. Guess who you got this weekend? Guess who you got this week? Like, I'm not saying Tatum Bethune's going to shut down the run game. I'm not saying he's better than Fred Warner in the run. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying his strength, skill set, scouting report before he got drafted, last year his rookie year, preseason, all offseason, dude stops the run. Dude stops the run. So talk to me. Let's peek forward a little bit. How do the 49ers scheme up? This is Coach Approach Show. How do you attack this Falcons offense with Michael Penix, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson is the engine that drives that whole thing?
Yeah, I think the 49ers are going to have to get kind of out of their comfort zone a little bit on defense. They've just been so willing to stay two-eye safeties and run this, you know, this quarter shell. They run it more than anybody. And I think this week they're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive with Marquis Siegel or with Malik Mustafa and bring those guys in the box. Those two dudes are phenomenal at it. Marquis Siegel is fantastic. By the way, some of the plays in the fourth quarter, him coming from the deep safety spot and filling in the run game, were really, really good. Like top shelf safety play. I think that they're going to have to be more aggressive, show some eight-man boxes, and try to put the onus on Michael Penix and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and these guys to win, because they can't allow Bijan Robinson in this run game to roll out, you know, for 150 yards on the ground. That will eat the 49ers defense away. They'll wear down as this game goes on. So I think they're going to have to take some chances. They're going to have to take some shots, some run blitzes, things like that from Robert Saleh, just to kind of keep it honest. If they could keep Atlanta anywhere between 100 and 115 yards on the ground, I think they're in this game. But I think that's going to be really tough to do because Bijan Robinson's explosive, and I'm worried about the 49ers' speed out on the edge. We saw this with Jahmyr Gibbs in 2023. I worry once he gets out there, he's just got the ability to make people miss. And some of the alley defenders, if Jair Brown's out there, that makes me nervous about the 49ers out on the edge being able to make the plays in the run game.
Yeah, when the Falcons have rushed for under 150 yards, they are 1-2. So like that is, dude, there, here's what's great. I was diving through stats and some analytics and whatever else. Michael Penix has zero touchdown passes that travel 10 or more air yards this season. None. Like, he got no touchdown passes. Like, and again, he's only completed, what was it? I think it was like two passes that this entire season that have traveled more than 20 yards. Like, he's not your deep threat. Like, now he was in college. You go look at him, like, dude throws an incredible deep ball, but that's not Zach Robinson and how this offense works. It's dink and dunk, attack the flats, attack the curls, yards after catch. Just get the ball out quick. That's the whole idea. Run game, run game, run game, screen game, screen game, screen game. That's what you're going to see. So, like, what it is, how the 49ers attack that, that's going to be. So, one thing that I do want to say, and I want to hold us both accountable here, because we were both wrong last week. We were talking about the safety rotation. And we're like, all right, Malik Mustafa is going to be out there. Who's he going to be out there? You talked about Penix being out there. I talked about Siegel being out there. Zero snaps of Malik Mustafa and either one of our guys. Jahyir Brown played every single snap at safety last week, which it was a coverage week, and his coverage was decent. This is going to be a running week. So Malik Mustafa, after getting 21 snaps, I think is going to get a healthy rotation. Do you go Siegel because it's a running heavy team? Or do you say, well, Kyle Pitts is out there, so we're going to need Jahyir Brown in coverage? How do you handle that safety rotation? We were both wrong last week, but I trust you. What's going to happen? What are we going to see out there?
I'll be honest. I was shocked. You know, the report came out from Matt Miyoko, and I'm like, wait, why is Jahyir Brown going to be starting in this game? I think that, you know, Jahyir Brown, first off, he frustrates the heck out of me when it comes to tackling, when it comes to finishing. That he just can't do that. When it comes to coverage, he's fine. That's okay. He's an average, you know, coverage safety in the league. I think Marquis Siegel, they need to just keep him out there at this point. You made the decision, you know, Penix was the odd man out. Let's roll with Marquis Siegel. And I get it. He's having breakdowns in coverage and he's making mistakes, but he makes a lot of plays in the run game. And I think that you're going to need that speed and aggressiveness against a player like Bijan Robinson, who I talked about in the open field, making plays. Jahyir Brown is not good. That's not what he does well. If you're looking at strengths of this football team, and you talked about, you know, Michael Penix not getting the ball down the field as much, this is an opportunity to have Marquis Siegel come up, play in the box, and really be aggressive around the line of scrimmage. I like him a lot better being that alley defender in this game. Him and Malik Mustafa, I think, are perfect for it compared to, you know, Jahyir Brown or even Jason Pinnock. I don't really like him in that category either. So I think they should roll with Marquis Siegel and see what happens. This week especially, they need him in the run game.
He got toasted last week. And it's funny because we've been saying, like, dude, he's so close. He just got to make the play. And then he wasn't close. He got totally just like – and Shanahan even called him out from the podium, which, yeah that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I would like to see Siegel out there as well. That's something that I do care about. Now, here's a question. Let's say let's jump in our DeLorean and go to the future. Let's say the 49ers win this game, man. What did they do offensively to attack this Falcons defense? Now, it's Ulbrich, and it's very similar to what we do. Cover three, they run 44% of the time. Cover one man, 23% of the time. And quarters, they run 20%. It's a very similar defense. What do the offensive 49ers do to win this game?
I think they have to run the ball, you know, and this is probably one of those things that's very tough, but you got a kind of weakness on weakness here where 49ers run game hasn't been good, but you're bringing George Kittle back, and the Atlanta Falcons run defense is not great either. They give up about 115 yards per game. But the reason I say that is they have a weakness when it comes to their edge defenders. We saw Leonard Floyd play all last year. We know you can get movement on him. We've seen them do it a lot when he was with the Rams. Then they got Arnold Ebiketie. You know, they've got James Pierce Jr. They've got Jalen Walker. These are small edge defenders who put pressure on the quarterback. But when it comes to stopping the run, they can't set a firm edge. I think that's where you find your areas to run the football. But we're going to be counting on a tight ends and running backs to make those blocks. I know Kyle Juszczyk will do it. If George Kittle's in the game, I know he will do it. I don't have full belief in Jake Tonjes or Luke Farrell to consistently make those blocks. And I have some concerns about Connor Kobe and Dominic Pooney right now when it comes to pulling and making those blocks. But I think that that's an area the 49ers can attack. If this was last year or 2023 49ers, they would absolutely carve them up in this certain position and run the ball all over them for over 150 yards. And we'd be talking about shortening the game and 40 rushes and winning. This is a different incarnation of the 49ers. But I think they need to really get the run game going in that exact area. And I'm curious to see if Jeff Ulbrich tries to load the box and try to prevent the 49ers from taking advantage of it.
Yeah, man, if this was the 2023 49ers, it would be C-gap, outside zone, C-gap, outside zone. And just like, you're going to over-pursue, we cut back. Backside A-gap, like, that's just what it would be. Oh, look at this, Nick Parra, the man. Appreciate the super chat. What's up, Faithful? Let's keep developing these rookies. But with all these injuries, we can't afford mistakes. Atlanta is up and down, so let's grab this W. Very winnable game. 49ers are favored from Vegas and kind of all the stuff. Like, very winnable game. But any given Sunday, man, I mean, this year, it is very difficult to predict who's winning what game. And just, like, it's prime time, man. You don't even know which quarterback is going. And it's not like the Falcons are without injuries as well. They're without several starters yesterday as a practice. We'll have to see how it goes. Two of their top wide receivers are out. But it hasn't been a problem with teams that play us in the past. So a very winnable game. There's no doubt about that. But got to go out there, do what you got to do. And I just hope the run game, Kittle comes back. Gosh, I will say this about Luke Farrell. He did have a promising second half. Major blunders early on, but he had 4 to 5 positive plays in the second half where I was like, ooh, I see you 8-9. Like, this is what they're hoping for. This is what they paid for. Hopefully that comes up. Hopefully that, you know, comes about. So we'll have to see what that looks like and all that stuff. Now, we've got a ridiculous amount of questions. What I want to get to, some fun topics. I want to talk some Kyle Juszczyk when we get back. But next week, this week we got the Falcons. Next week, we are going to be in Houston for one of the biggest 49ers rush road trips that have ever, ever taken place. I hope you come out and party with us. Join us in Houston for probably one of our biggest parties we have ever hosted. We are going to be on the 25th of October at the Social Beer Garden HTX with Frank Gore, Wayne Breezy, Travis King, Eye of the Niner. Going to be one of the biggest parties we've ever hosted. Likely to sell out. Please don't wait to get tickets. Then the day of the 49ers-Texans game, we rented out a 3-story parking garage so that we can control everything. We do have parking available for an additional fee, which you can get on the app. And we open an hour before all of the other lots. So you can get there early, you can stay late. And if you want to, you're not going to be buying tickets and you want to enjoy the game, we'll have TVs up there so that you can stay and party during the game if you want to do that. If you want to go in like I'm going to, that's available for you as well. So do not wait. Go get your tickets at 49ersrushroadtrip.com or get them on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush or follow the link in the description of this video podcast. Come party with us. It is going to be legendary. All right. I have to say shout out to NY Niners. I had the wonderful opportunity to meet the man in person in Tampa. Dude is freaking top notch. No, he's one of the kind of producers for us. He helps us with our draft content. He helps us with, you know, our 90 man roster series. He helps us with research. He's just such a stand up dude. And it was awesome to put a face to the awesome man. And just want to say thank you to everybody that came out and kind of, you know, whatever. And hopefully you guys come out in Houston or New York. Come say what's up. Stefan has a super chat. He says, do you think it's a problem our fullback cannot run well on short downs? Feels like third and short is similar to third and long for us. I'll say this. Kyle Juszczyk has one carry on the year. His job is blocking, pass blocking, and pass outlet. The reason why we can't run on third and short is not so much the fullback. It's the interior offensive line. So, Ant, talk to me about this. Agree, disagree?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean... In the old days, the reason, though, those big fullbacks were able to get those yards is they had body, they had movers ahead of them. That's what they did. They moved people. That's not what the game is now with the zone and the blocking scheme and all that. It's all about movement and getting guys moving, you know, horizontally instead of vertically. Vertical run game would lean to giving the ball to a fullback. That's not Kyle Juszczyk's game. That's not Kyle Shanahan's game. That's why you only seen the one carry, which I didn't think was a terrible call. It was just bad execution by the 49ers down there near the goal line.
Yeah, and right here, Uncle Salty, sticking with this. What are the chances we see Drew Moss or Matt Hennessy? I mean, you know, I counted all the negative plays just for the tape. I counted Brindle with 12. I called it Dominic Pooney with 10. And I counted Connor Colby with 3. Major discrepancy there. Do you think that there will ever be a rotation in the history of Chris Forster as this offensive line? Or is he just going to stick with these guys till, I don't know.
I don't think that Matt Hennessy or Drew Moss, I don't think Drew Moss is going to be ready. We seen in this game, you know, some mistakes when it came to the thought process of what Jake Brendel was supposed to do with how he was moving protections and things. And I don't think Drew Moss is going to be ready for some of these better defensive coordinators when it comes to that. Matt Hennessy would probably be the best option because he's played in a system. He understands, you know, what to know who's coming and who's not coming and be able to slide protections and things like that. But I don't think they're going to do it. They're going to stick with Jake Brendel until the wheels fall off. And then hopefully somebody will eventually take over, but it's not going to happen this year. You got John Feliciano out there like, hey, I'll sign the league minimum. That's not that much. Let me come back. And they're not budging on that. So if it's not going to be somebody like that, it's not going to be anybody.
Yeah, and my take, Steven asked this, what do you guys think about bringing back Feliciano? I'm a hardcore no on this. As soon as you start doing that press route and throwing other players under the bus that you would be teammates with, which he's been doing, I'm staying the hell away. Like, I don't want people that are openly coming. Now, I wanted Feliciano back last year, but he said, you know, Father Time got to me and, you know, the body's just not there. He hasn't played football in 2 years. I'm hardcore no against that. But I hope that his podcasting, whatever, goes very, very well. But I am not inviting that into the locker room. You chose your path. And yeah, like we've seen him throw players at his position group under the bus to replace them in the past. And now he's actively doing that on KMBR and other places. Hell no, man. Me as from a coach, right? Coaching perspective. No way do I want that. I've been a huge Feliciano fan for a long time. Like, he was awesome whenever he was healthy. But you start doing that, it's just like, nah, man, I am. And I wish you could trade for an offensive lineman. That just doesn't happen. Sure as hell don't trade for centers. Not a thing. I wish you could, and I would in a heartbeat. I've been clamoring to draft a center for, 8 years. Niners haven't drafted a center in almost 15 seasons. Marcus Martin, last center drafted. What? How the hell is that even? Anyway, Derek, super chat. Man, appreciate the generosity, my friend. Hey, I wanted to reach out and ask you this weekend against Atlanta, how much of the 2025 salary cap percentage is on the field? Ooh, that is a I'm going to do a little bit of research here. I think Spotrac or let's see here. I can tell you how much is on injured reserve right now. 44 million. So 44 million. And the cap is, what is the actual cap number? I'm missing it. So 44 million, 44.1 million is on injured reserve currently. Now that does not include Ricky Pearsall. That doesn't include guys that are not on IR, but it is, I mean, shoot, you're at about 30 to 40%. And if you want to get even crazier, you look at dead money, 99 million. That's the big one. So you're paying $99 million for people to play for other teams. You're paying Leonard Floyd to play against you this week because of how mismanaged those free agent signings were. Like, that is terrible. So, I mean, shoot, Debo's contract is $34 million dead money. That's almost all the players on IR combined. I think that's the biggest issue, is that you're paying so many guys to play against you and play for other teams, and the injuries on top of it. Because Nick Bosa, $20 million. George Kittle, $14 million. He just came off, like, the IR. But it's bad. Fred Warner, you know, he'll be on there, so you got to put that in there. It's bad, Derek. You are playing hobbled, but teams don't give a damn. You still got to go play. Do you think that this affects, you know, as a coach or a player, you see what you're paying in dead money, $99 million, see what you're paying in IR, $44 million. What are your thoughts there, Ant?
I don't think coaches and players care. You know, you don't look at that number. I think the general manager in the front office, I'm sure they pay attention to that, you know, and they're looking at the money, wishing they had it to spend. But as a coach, you're looking at the available talent that you have and just doing what you can with it. And with players, you're not really caring how much money is being spent out there. What you are caring about is the fact that who's playing next to you, you know. And when a big time player like Nick Bosa or Fred Warner go down, there are some players that look at it as an opportunity to step up, like, hey, we all need to make up for this guy, and they elevate their play. There's other guys, and I'm sure you've had guys that you coached that were like this. They saw a player go down that was a really great player, and automatically they just started to believe that things weren't going to go the right way, or they weren't going to, that the team wasn't going to be good enough, and slowly they started to deteriorate with their play. So it can have an effect on you injury-wise. I don't think financially what happens, I don't think that plays into the players' minds very much.
Yeah. And to go back to your question, Derek, I just got out the calculator and put in some numbers. So if you add up dead money and IR money, 51% of this year's cap, over 50%, it's dead money and salary cap. So that's kind of where that is, and that is not good. Now, when does the dead money go away? So this year, that $99 million. Next year, the 49ers already have $21 million, $21.8 million dead money for next year. Now, from 99 to that, that's huge. You're going to have some more cuts. You're going to have some more. That's going to grow. The Niners have not done well, and this is a big reason why they have to do the younger, cheaper model. You don't have a choice. Because you had so many bad contracts on the books, trying to push it all, you know, in for that 2024 run it back year, and it cost you. And on top of that, like, you're talking Javon Hargrave, one of the worst contracts franchise history, that killed you. And like, those are the killers. Derek, again, appreciate you, man. It's crazy that we're decently competitive with this much money on IR dead cap. That's why I put out on Twitter this morning. I'm curious your take, because I just asked, like, here's how I phrased it. Is 2025 Kyle Shanahan's best year as a play caller, not head coach, just offensive play caller? Yes or no? That's just the way I phrased it. And 74% of the votes, which it's already up to a couple hundred. I literally tweeted it right before we went live. 74% said yes. Where are you on that? Kyle Shanahan's year just as a play caller. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good. If it's not the best, it's definitely up there with one of his top play calling duties. He's in his bag. I mean, personnel wise, especially, he knows what he's doing. He knows what matchups he's going to get, and he put Mac Jones in a lot of really good situations. I think he is. He's very comfortable with this group. I do think that Debo, and not having Debo, and how that game plan would always mess up Kyle Shanahan. I think him kind of being out of the mix, he has similar players now. It doesn't really throw him off when a player's out as much as it used to. George Kittle, though, will add to that. George Kittle being in and out of the lineup definitely plays into how he calls plays.
Yeah, I like that. Look at this agency. We don't have dead money. We have zombie money. That's really, really good. And Kyle, I'm with you here. At 4-2, no player better be thinking that this is over and not our year. Dude, that doesn't go into, like, I have coached teams that are bad. I played on teams that were bad. Like, even though, like, you know, it's not year and you're eliminated from playoffs, you don't, like, that is not in the gladiator's mindset. It's, dude, let's go out there and let's freaking win this game. and you're 4-2 in first place. You're 3-0. You beat every team in your division. Yeah, the injuries are crazy, but man, Brock Purdy's back practicing. George Kittle's back practicing. Ricky Pearsall hopefully soon, but like, it sucks what happened to Fred. It sucks what happened to Nick Bosa, but dude, there is no woe is me. That does not happen. You look around the room, you still got Christian McCaffrey. You still got Trent Williams. Still got D'Amador Lenore. Like, you're fine. Teams would love to have Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Trent Williams. Like, they would love that. You're fine. You just got to go out there and win one-on-one. Do what you got to do. Like, that's what it is. RTP. Yeah, tell these fans. Yeah, fans are different. Fans are very different. But whatever, you line up every day to work next to this dude and blood, sweat, and tears, and we're in this together, the idea of we suck and all that stuff doesn't really enter the mind. Now, Juwan Jennings making it about him, maybe it does for him. That stuff's crazy to me. I don't understand that mindset. I don't get that. But I don't know, Ant. You've coached. When you have a player that makes it about them and is not about the team, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, that player usually is sitting on the sidelines standing next to me. I had this happen. We had a rivalry game, and I had a player that decided that he was going to miss practice, and so he wasn't going to play the first part of that game for sure. And he's sitting behind me kind of chirping, you know, if you want to win, put Tyler in. And I said, you know, I said, hey, if you want to play, show up to practice every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so we just kind of had that moment.
Hit him with the rhyme, man.
Had to hit him with it. And, you know, so this stuff happens, you know, and it, you know, it hurts your football team when these players do that, because you need these players out there, but you got to set the tone. And, you know, it's a little bit more difficult when it comes to professionals, because these guys are adults. They're putting in a lot of time and effort, and this was out of character for Juwan Jennings. This is not something we've seen from him before. He's never really displayed a diva mentality. He's always been the consummate professional, works hard, gives everything he's got. So it was a little bit different to see, but the fact that they had a verbal altercation on the sideline, I thought was pretty interesting. And they'll handle it. Kyle Shanahan, he knows how to squash these things and handle it. But I don't really like that from your team. I think it gives, you know, kind of opens up some rifts. For some, it works, right? George Seifert and Steve Young. With Steve Young yelling at him, everyone rallied behind him. I don't think that's
94
here,
week four game against the Eagles. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They got blown out. He gets benched. He's over there throwing temper tantrums, trying to fight George Seifert, wearing your hat and freaking some of the best swag in 49ers history. And that dude's just chilling. He just got his arms crossed on the sideline, not paying attention to him. Just like, let him get fired up. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. George Seifert sitting there eating his certs. He ain't worried about it. You know, he's chilling. And Steve Young's over there talking about how he wanted to have a fist fight with them. And the whole time, it galvanized the team. They're like, this dude's a fighter. I want to play for that guy. Such a funny story.
Mormon's gone wild. Happened here? I love right? it, man. I love that. Steve Young is by far one of my favorite humans to ever wear that red and gold. And again, we were talking before the show, like, I'm planning on doing an entire George Seifert post and how, like, I nobody cares about this but me, but like, why that dude should be in the Hall of Fame, how he has more playoff wins, more regular season wins than, you know, Bill Walsh, how he was the only guy part of all five Super Bowls for the four. I'm not saying he's better than Bill Walsh. Nobody's saying that. But I'm like, dude, this dude should have been in the Hall of Fame. One, his drip is unparalleled. How you wear the glasses with the wire and all that freaking 90s gear. Oh, dude, I am the George Seifert. Like, I'm just telling you, 49ers didn't win till that dude showed up. Now, I know Bill Walsh was the architect. I get it. That Seifert should be in the freaking Hall of Fame. I don't care what nobody else says. Anyway, once I'm through with this show, I got a film thing, and then it's just George Seifert freaking. I'm deep diving. It's just what it is. I'm going Pablo. I'm doing it all. I want to find everything out I can about George Seifert. I love that dude. What a great time. What a great time. I freaking love it. Now, I do want to take time to say thank you to Joel. This dude, one, just retired from military service, lives in the Philippines. This dude flew out with his family to go to the Falcons game. I freaking love it. He's going to be out in the States for 2 weeks to go to the Houston game as well. Absolutely love it. And then I did have this question. Punt returner, Sky Moore has not been great. He hasn't been awful, but he just makes horrible decisions. IQ not up there. That was on this scouting report for the Chiefs. Dude just keeps fielding the freaking punt inside the five. And David asked Kyle, like, is that a coaching decision? He's like, no, no. Do you think it's time? Jordan Watkins, they held him out. Is it time to see Watkins back there as kickoff return punt returner?
Well, I mean, there might not be much of a choice depending on Sky Moore's health anyway. So this could be an opportunity for Jordan Watkins to go test it. I'm never really a big fan of rookies handling punt return. We know Jacob Cowing did it last year. He was effective, but I don't like seeing the ball on the ground. If there's one thing I could say about Sky Moore, he secures the catch. But yes, the inside the 5 yard line thing is driving me insane. So if Jordan Watkins is capable, they feel comfortable with it, I'm okay. And, you know, if Sky Moore can't go this week, we're probably going to get to see Jordan Watkins do it because the pecking order of who's going to be returning punts, guy like Ricky Pearsall, no. Jacob Cowing, no. Those guys aren't available. I think it would be Jordan Watkins. And I think he'll do a pretty good job. And if he does, that could put Sky Moore at risk of eventually when they make a roster decision, he's moving done. On from him and just rolling with Jordan Watkins because he's got more upside, a younger guy, better receiver. And so that could be the beginning of the end for Sky Moore with a couple bad decisions around the goal line.
I wouldn't be upset with that. Like, I mean, you had to because Jacob Cowan, he's the one that kind of puts you with getting hurt on routes on air, then coming back and getting hurt the first day. Like, dude has more injuries than practices. Yeah, man, what's going on with Jacob Cowing? You know, like, he's sitting on IR. Golly, this dude was our punt return all year, his rookie year. It's now been 6 weeks since his second hamstring injury. Nobody's even mentioning that dude. Is he just kind of wrote off for dead? Like, we'll see what happens next year.
Oh yeah, he's redshirting. I think injury redshirt for Jacob Cowing. You're not going to bring him back with the receivers you have and how they're playing right now. You're eventually going to want to bring back Brandon Ayuk off of IR. No, I don't think we're going to see Jacob Cowing again unless there's a rash of injuries at wide receiver, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're finally starting to get healthy. You have three capable wide receivers for back-to-back weeks, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson. I want DeMarcus Robinson to get more snaps. I really, really do, but anyway, that's a whole separate thing. And you are the freaking man. Talk to us just real quick about what you got going on over at Patreon and your channel and how we can support you.
Yeah, two standalone shows over on Patreon. All the film breakdowns available over on Patreon. Tomorrow, check out the Madden Sim. That's going to come out in the morning. And then I'll have a daily episode coming out later in the afternoon. So all that's available. 49ers Cutback Patreon, 49ers Cutback YouTube.
Dude, 49ers Cutback. You come for the hat drip. You stay for the amazing content. You are the best, Ant. I really do appreciate all you do for the community, your positivity, just helping me see the game. I say this all the time. Like there's a few shows that I listen to, but the 49ers Cutback is at the top of the list. Whenever I get to listen to 49ers content, which usually I'm making it too much. That's a weird thing, Ant. Like we make so much content, which is a good thing, and I appreciate everybody that listens to any of it. And like, do you find it's hard to get out there and listen to other 49er shows after you've worked on a 49er show all day?
Yeah, I don't listen very much. Occasionally I'll catch, you know, a show here or there, try to listen in, but also I don't want it to affect my opinions. I want to only have my own opinions on things. So sometimes I play that. But if I've already put out something and someone does something similar, I might try to listen to it. But yeah, time is tough, John, to listen to all the shows. And there's a lot of great content out there, you know, and people find what they like. Yeah, for sure.
Spoiled. All right. You guys are the best, you spoiled fans. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.